Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. What are renters' rights in San Antonio, here in part of Texas, which is a state with some of the weakest rights for renters? And what can be done to protect renters when, in a time of housing instability and skyrocketing rents and some landlords who don't do proper maintenance? If this is a topic that doesn't impact you directly right now, it could in the future. And it absolutely will impact someone you know, perhaps a close family member, because at least half of San Antonio residents are renters, and they need to know their rights and how to use them, how to protect themselves. You can call in as we talk about renters' rights today. The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You could also text us at that number, and you can send us an email to thesource@tpr.org. We're joined this hour by Veronica Garcia, Director of Neighborhood and Housing Services for the City of San Antonio. And Veronica Garcia, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. Also with us, Sandra Tamez is the Executive Director at Fair Housing Council of Greater San Antonio. And Sandra Tamez, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a great conversation about renters in San Antonio and protecting them, particularly because people have the impression that there's not a lot of protections for them, but there are some, but they need to be made aware of them, and we need to have a way to exercise those rights. So, Veronica Garcia, there has been an effort to educate renters in San Antonio with workshops. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So tenants do have several rights already under our local, state, and federal laws. And we are working hard to make sure that everyone understands exactly what those rights and responsibilities are. So we are hosting this month, the Renters' Rights Power Hour. This started as an initiative to help equip renters with information about all of these local, state, and federal rights and responsibilities that they have. Understanding what is in a lease is very important. It's empowering for both the renters and the property owners to understand what actions are appropriate and lawful when those lease terms are not met. So that is the big initiative that we're working on right now, is to help create this education process. We are very fortunate to have great partnerships with legal experts at both the Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid and the Fair Housing Council of Greater San Antonio, who really help simplify terminology and legal jargon into everyday language. They are experts at helping make complicated processes just more accessible for everyone. So during our workshops, the legal experts outline the protections and the responsibilities both the property owner and the renter have, and who to contact if there are any concerns. Our team is also helpful in listening to individual cases at a high level and just providing general guidance so that others can learn from examples.
Senator Tamez at the Fair Housing Council of Greater San Antonio, can you talk about what you do, how you can help renters who find themselves crossing their landlords?
Yes, of course. So what's different about the Fair Housing Council, though, I would say, is that we're specifically funded to deal with discrimination issues. So we're glad to be partnering with the city to do these Renters' Rights Power Hour. When we do our sessions, we're focusing on both educating consumers about repair issues, eviction issues, lockouts, things along those lines, but also factoring in discrimination issues and how fair housing can play a role in getting addressing issues like repairs, how it can be a defense in evictions, and how it can be a resource along with their rights under the Texas Property Code. So our situation is a little bit different in the sense that we can only handle and advocate for consumers that when it's a fair housing issue dealing with discrimination, but we're also here to basically counsel consumers about their rights regardless, right? So they have rights regardless of the renter, and so we will educate them about that. But we can only really advocate when, for example, with repair issues. Tenants have rights to repairs. Landlords have a responsibility to address and fix repairs in their unit that are affecting their physical health and safety. This can include things like sewage backup or not having hot water, or there's faulty wiring, or there's a rat or roach at the station. And so we educate consumers about the fact that landlords have to do this. They have a reasonable time to do that, which is presumed to be about 7 days, but that can extend if there's other things that need to be taken into consideration, such as the availability of parts, et cetera. And we talk about their rights to that. But we also stress that, you know, one of the things in Texas is that a landlord is not required to make repairs unless you are current on your rent. A lot of tenants think this is very unfair because of the fact that they are, you know, they are good tenants and they pay their rent, and some want to withhold rent when those repairs aren't made. But unfortunately, the law doesn't help in this sense, because it's very clear that a landlord doesn't have to do repairs if a tenant is delinquent on rent. The way we factor fair housing or discrimination into this issue is if someone in the household has a disability that is being negatively affected by these health and safety issues, we use the Fair Housing Act as a way to advocate for the landlord to prioritize and expedite addressing repairs in the unit that are affecting their disability. For example, let's say a consumer has diabetes, and as part of their treatment, they have to take insulin. Insulin has to be refrigerated, and the refrigerator is not working, and the landlord is not, taking steps to make repairs to that refrigerator. We would step in if someone with diabetes is considered disabled under the Fair Housing Act. We would advocate to get the repairs done because of the negative impact on the disability. And so those are situations that we end up advocating for when there are health and safety issues in a unit that are impacting someone's physical or mental disability. We step in those situations. So unfortunately, we cannot advocate for everyone. And so it's a small percentage of the population here in San Antonio that we end up helping. But, you know, we get many calls, especially dealing with health and safety issues that are not being addressed by a landlord, you know, when a tenant is current on their rent.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the 7 days that landlords have in order to make a repair. I mean, I can imagine, you know, in the heat of summer and the air conditioning unit conks out and the landlord says, I got 7 days to fix that. And says, well, you're not disabled, you know, you just deal with it. And then people say, well, I can't live with this. I have kids. This is not healthy. I have to go to a hotel for a few days to survive this week until you fix the AC. And where is that money going to come from? And then you can't hold out on rent. That's not going to help you. It doesn't seem like renters have a lot of cards to play in situations like that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. Our phone lines are open. If you're a renter, do you know your renter's rights? Do you know as a tenant, as a rent-paying tenant, does your lease protect you? Or is it just there to protect the landlord? What are these, who has the most rights? And how do we make sure in a time of housing instability and rising rents, what can be done about this? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. It's The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're discussing renters' rights in San Antonio. How do we protect tenant payers? How do we protect landlords? Not everyone always follows the rules. So what can we do to make sure that we don't have people who are going to be taken advantage of? Give us a call with your story, your viewpoint, your experience, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Veronica Garcia, Director of Neighborhood and Housing Services for the City of San Antonio. So the City of San Antonio City Council recently approved a new program that will fine landlords who allow unsafe living conditions in their apartment complexes. The Proactive Apartment Inspections Program is will take care of these bad actor property owners. How is that working? Because that's now in place, isn't it?
Yes, but you're right. It was approved by council just a couple of weeks ago. So as tenants have property maintenance issues, repairs that are needed, first we encourage them to make sure that they notify the landlord of the issues and they really work closely with them in writing, notify them in writing, and work closely with them to help resolve it as soon as possible. And most landlords we find are very responsible. They want to address issues. They want to keep their tenants there, happy, all of that. So we're not talking about the vast majority. We're talking about the individuals who do have ongoing maintenance, deferred maintenance, and that aren't being timely and responsive with tenant concerns. So that's where the Proactive Apartment Inspections Program can really help, where tenants can notify, call 311, call our code compliance team, and it's done through our Development Services Department that oversees that effort, and they can help do more proactive inspections with the apartment owner and see what are the issues. And if they are found to be in violation multiple times within a certain period, then they go onto a registry, a list, where they have even more frequent inspections. And the whole goal is really about, it's about housing, it's about access, it's about making sure that tenants are living in safe, decent conditions, and that they know that we are here to help them address those issues if all of their efforts to work with the property owner are not resolved.
Some activists said they were concerned about putting landlords on this list and these additional fines because they would just raise the rent to cover the additional fines. Is that happening?
So we've just started the program. It's only been in operation for a couple of weeks. I think we're just in a market right now where rents are rising across many apartments. And we do have several programs in place to help tenants who are at risk of losing their home. So we have, we take kind of a three-prong approach there. We have housing counselors on our team within our department that offer case management services. And we hear that from people who need to relocate, maybe because their apartment is no longer affordable. It could be that the rent increased. It could be that the maintenance just isn't being addressed in a timely fashion and they just, it's not the best home for them anymore. So we work very closely with tenants who are experiencing these issues, and we have a whole program to help people relocate if that's the best option for them. And we work with them on how they can mediate between themselves and the landlord to try and be as responsive as possible to proactively address issues. And again, we'll help them understand how they can report possible violations through our Proactive Apartment Inspection Program or through code compliance. When all of those issues are, when our prevention issues are not successful, and a tenant does find themselves in a potential area where they could be facing an eviction, we do have other programs in place for that.
I've heard anecdotally, Veronica, from people that I have to move. My rent suddenly went up several hundreds of dollars. I can't afford it, so I have to downsize or I have to move into an area that I don't feel safe in, but I have no choice. I'm wondering how common that is. So I sure would like to hear from listeners if this has happened to you. We need to be talking about this, making people aware what are the stresses that we're having in our community on people trying to just make ends meet. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Let's go to a caller. We have Dawn on the line. And Dawn, you're on the air.
Hi. My comment is just that we rent a house for 3 years. We've never been late on our rent. When we rented the house, they had a working refrigerator with an ice maker, freezer, and it wasn't working properly, and they sent someone out to look at it, and it was leaking on the floor in the kitchen, and they were going to get parts for it. Then we never heard back from them. They never came and did anything. Then it got worse, and the water's leaking into the freezer, so it's frozen out. The bottom section of the building is full of ice. But anyway, now they're telling us that we should just buy a new refrigerator and put it in there. And I'm like, well, when we rented this house, we had a working refrigerator with freezer that did not leak. And now you want us to buy the refrigerator and put in there? It just doesn't make sense to me. Is that legal?
Right, Dawn, thank you for that. Do you have a lease, Dawn? Is that something that, can you light Dawn back up? Dawn, did you have a lease?
Yes, we do have a lease.
Anything in there about appliances?
It was not in there. My husband says it wasn't in there at the beginning, but when we re-signed the new, like we re-signed after a year, that they added that clause in there. So now, I guess we're SOL.
But I know. So do you feel like you have rights in this situation, or are you just being stepped on?
I feel like I'm being stepped on. Not only that, the sliding glass back door has never locked properly. There's many things that are just little things, but, you know, it's a nice area. It's a fairly nice house. It's 4 bedrooms, 2 baths. I mean, it's not.
But yet you're making compromises.
Yeah, we rented a house that was supposed to have everything in working order, you know, and now a lot of things are not, and they won't come and fix it. They just ignore us.
Dawn, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Hope for the best for you. Sandra Tomez, Executive Director of Fair Housing Council of Greater San Antonio, can you react to Dawn?
Yes, of course. And I mean, we hear these types of complaints all the time. And David, you're really... it was really important that you pointed out the aspect of the lease. The lease controls so much about responsibilities and rights in that tenancy, and landlords can change the lease, and it's really important for renters to read that lease. Many don't. I mean, I didn't when I was a renter. I think it can be really long and can seem intimidating, but it's really important that you do read it and understand it, because the lease will outline, especially when you're renting a single family home, who's responsible for making repairs. And sometimes that will shift to the renter. It'll outline a lot of parts of that tenancy. Now, in her situation, because of the fact that it has, they've changed the terms and they've signed it, they're now bound by these new terms. There's still health and safety issues in that unit, regardless of the refrigerator, let's say, that need to be addressed. And so what we would initially do from our office's point of view is determine whether or not there is any type of, you know, a child, another adult in the household that has some type of physical or mental impairment that's being impacted by, you know, the lack of security, the fact that, you know, a sliding door doesn't lock. That is a safety issue. And that's something that can be reported to the city's code enforcement department, so that they can come out and inspect, because they will look at different health and safety issues. And, you know, a leak in the, you know, caused by a refrigerator can cause a safety issue in the rental property. So these are situations where tenants should reach out to their local code enforcement department for help, for assistance in coming out to inspect these issues, so that these issues, whether there can be pressure put on the landlord to address health and safety issues that they are responsible for under the lease. But you're very right in that they need to read their lease in order to determine what's available. There is recourse for renters. It's a little complicated. They should consult with an attorney or legal aid in order to exercise those rights, because there's specific steps that you have to take. I'm not allowed to give legal advice on the phone right now. I can make some suggestions, but there is some type of recourse. But the reality is, for immediate results, they should reach out to code enforcement for assistance. And even though there is concern over this new proactive apartment inspections program, there needs to be some pressure put on local landlords and apartment owners to comply with the requirements under the Texas Property Code. It should be fair, right? So even though the Texas Property Code leans very heavily toward rights for landlords, it's important that local governments take what steps they can to ensure that there is some type of deterrent for landlords disregarding their responsibilities under the lease. And so these programs are helpful as a deterrent. And so we are concerned, of course, about what happens as a result of this program. But it's, I think it's a step in the right direction so that there is something that's done. You know, I can recall when the city of Leon Valley sued one of the apartment complexes, which was really rare, sued one of the apartment complexes in their jurisdiction for not addressing horrible health and safety issues at an apartment complex here in town. And they did something, and I applaud them for taking, and that's a large step toward addressing it. And it sends a message to housing providers that the city and the city representatives take these issues seriously, and there will be consequences for not addressing health and safety issues in their rental units.
Veronica Garcia, Director of Neighborhood and Housing Services for the City of San Antonio. The refrigerator thing is complex because, you know, I've got like $200 plus of food in my refrigerator, and if that refrigerator conks out, I'm out that money. So if I told my landlord, you know, this thing is acting up, it's acting up, can you please send someone out here to keep this thing working, and then they don't, and then it conks out, and then I lose, you know, everything, all my frozen lasagnas and all these other things, popsicles that I've got in there. Who's responsible for that? Is that a cost I'm expected to eat?
You know, Kevin, you that's a great question. I think we would have to look at that on a case-by-case basis. I think what's important is that they are putting in writing to their landlord that they are asking and documenting when they notified their landlord of the issue, when they heard of, you know, what steps are being taken to address that. I think it's also important for tenants to know that they should not be fearful of any kind of retaliation just because they are reporting issues. I think you asked a question earlier about what if I report something and then the landlord has to make repairs, can they raise my rent after that? The answer is no, because you have that lease, and it was mentioned earlier, that lease really kind of outlines the responsibilities between both parties. So if you notify your landlord that there's a repair needed, they come and they do address the repair, they can't just at that time raise your rent accordingly to cover the cost of that. They have to go by what's in the lease, and that rent is already outlined.
And the big mistake is thinking that if you withhold your rent, that you're going to motivate your landlord. Basically, if you withhold your rent, you're giving up your rights, Veronica?
Right. Yeah, that's the big thing, is you can't just withhold rent. There are some state laws that outline when you can, as a tenant, make your own repairs, but those get into, you know, legal guidance, which I can't give right now. But it is important to make sure you continue to pay those rent payments. And I mean, documentation is key, putting not just a phone call to the landlord, but an email, a text, a letter, something in writing where you're making sure that they're aware of exactly what your issue is, and then what the steps are and the timeline that they give you to fix it.
All right, we're taking another break. Lisa, I'm going to get you on the air as soon as we get back from this break, and our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment you want to tell us about your experiences with a landlord, with rising rents, being squeezed out of a place where you live or have lived, and how did that go? Do you think that you have your rights protected? What can be done? The state of Texas is actually going to make it much more harder to protect renters' rights in the future, it looks like, according to what's passing in this legislature. We'll talk about that too. And call in 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We can't do anything if we don't know anything. We got to know what's going on out there. Tell us how this is impacting you. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast comes from Big Sun Solar, committed to helping businesses strive towards energy independence and conservation. Solar is a great way for businesses to lower their carbon footprint. More at bigsunsolar.com/TPR.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're discussing renters' rights in San Antonio. With us is Veronica Garcia, Director of Neighborhoods and Housing Services for the City of San Antonio, and also Sandra Tomez, the Executive Director at Fair Housing Council of Greater San Antonio. We're taking calls. The number is 833-877-8255. How are you being impacted as a renter in San Antonio? What changes would you like to see? 833-TPR-TALK. And let's go to Lisa. Lisa, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My apartment complex recently changed hands. And the new company, I got a notice taped to my front door that I was $2,000 behind in rent. And when I contacted the new management and disputed that, they said that they were just taking the information that was given to them by the new owners, or by the old owners. And I have, you know, my documentation, the receipts from my money orders, and they refused to even look at it. They said all they could go on was the information from the previous owners. And I said, well, you need to contact the previous owners because I'm not $2,000 behind in rent. And she said, well, we can't contact them. We don't know how to contact them. We don't know where they are. And you're $2,000 behind in rent. So my rent every month, by the time you add all the fees, and my rent's about $920 a month. And plus, the rent is due between the 1st and the 3rd. I don't get my Social Security check until the 3rd Wednesday of the month. So I have a late fee of $119 tacked onto that to my balance. And for months, I've been paying $1,000 a month on my rent, trying to keep up, trying to maybe pay down my balance and avoid being evicted. I'm 71 and I'm disabled. I've asked them to accommodate my payday and you know, make my rent due when my check arrives. And they won't even talk to me about that. So I'm stuck paying $1,000 a month, every month, with very little left over for food, medicine, medical copays. And I don't know what to do about it.
Lisa, have you talked to your neighbors? Have they also got that $2,000 past due thing?
Yeah, and they moved. They didn't have the one woman I talked to. She didn't have a lease, and she just up and moved. She left, and the other people. I live in a complex that is. I'm scared to make friends in this complex because every time I've been robbed. I've had my identity stolen. You know, it's not criminals live here. It's a cheap apartment complex.
Right. Lisa, thank you for your call. I'm really glad you called in. You gave us some incredible insight into what people have to deal with, what people are going through, and why we need better support and supervision, oversight into these systems. So let me go to Sandra Tamez, Executive Director of Fair Housing Council of Greater San Antonio. Of course, our heart is breaking. What a story. Lisa, what can you tell us, Sandra?
Well, first off, you know, she was right in the fact that they should have changed her rent due date. You know, people with disabilities under the Fair Housing Act are entitled to what's called reasonable accommodations. Those are exceptions or changes to the way things are normally done, the policies and rules. And even though her lease dictates when rent is due, under Fair Housing, she can ask, and this is something that is based on cases, she can ask the property owner and manager to change the rent due date and grace period in their lease to correspond with the time frame when they receive their disability benefits. This is something that is an exception that is reasonable and it's necessary because some renters with disabilities are unable to work. They receive their disability benefits on a fixed schedule, and they need that change in the rent due date to correspond with the receipt of the disability benefits so that they don't incur these late fees. It's not about getting out of paying rent. It's about making it easier so that it coincides with when they actually get their disability benefits. And I would encourage her to call our office. These are the types of complaints that we advocate. We will step in and advocate for her to get that change. Now, in terms of the new owner's actions, you know, the new owner has responsibility to honor the existing lease and any agreements that she has with the previous owner. Certainly it can be challenged, right? So if she hopefully has record of her payments, maybe canceled checks, I don't know. I don't remember how she indicated she was making
payments. She had cashier's checks that she had records for. Checks. I mean, but that smells like a shakedown. Other renters said they had the same situation. At least one other tenant said the same thing happened to them and they just left. I mean, come on.
Yeah. It's not unheard of. That's why we always encourage renters to keep, it's a matter of protecting yourself. Unfortunately, in this day and age, many renters have to do everything possible to protect themselves because they cannot put the faith in the property owner to unfortunately do what's right, or this new owner.
Well, how is that not theft of some sort? Why can't, you know, why is that not theft? I mean, they're stealing from people.
I don't know how to characterize. Maybe we need to look at that further to see. I mean, it could definitely some form of fraud. We'd have to look at it to see what it can be characterized. But this is certainly a situation where she needs an advocate. And if she contacts her office, because she is disabled, we can step in to advocate for her. And we would challenge that with the new owner. We would step in, advocate for her, and to get this $2,000 amount rescinded and so that she can remain there if she wants to remain there under the new management, our new ownership. And challenge that. That's why, you know, advocates like our organization exist to step in. You know, it's unfortunate that we don't handle every landlord-tenant dispute, but we look, especially in situations like this where she has a disability and is being impacted by the situation, to step in and contact that new owner and explain to them what their responsibilities are and advocate to get this rescinded, right, to honor her previous payments, and to get that rent ledger updated correctly.
Let's go to another caller. Let's go to Jeff on the line. Jeff, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, David. Hey, great program, by the way. But I wanted to add earlier, when you were talking about, what about loss of food and perishables in your refrigerator and freezer, most insurance, renter's insurance and homeowner's insurance cover that loss. And it's up to $500 on some contracts, but others may go up to $250 or $300. But that would be a renter's insurance type item and not necessarily a landlord issue.
Jeff, thank you so much for that call. I appreciate that. That's good information. Veronica Garcia, Director of Neighborhoods and Housing Services for the City of San Antonio. Renter's insurance, do you encourage people to get it? Is that something that can help them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we see a lot of times where Perhaps there's a fire in an apartment complex and the tenant has to be relocated to another unit or to a hotel. And we often tell them if it is something that is within their budget, we would strongly encourage renter's insurance because it can cover a number of unexpected issues that the lease may not speak to as to who the responsible party is. And a lot of times renter's insurance can help tenants with those unexpected expenses. Debbie, can I also comment on, I think the previous caller was Liza, because she had she did have a very story, sad story that I wanted to comment on.
Yeah, go for it.
So, and I think that agree that it's great that we have Sandra and partners like the Fair Housing Council of Greater San Antonio, but that's also something that the city of San Antonio can help with. We hear a lot of times from renters who have similar issues where, you know, the new property manager comes in and there's a past balance due or there's changes to things that they weren't expecting. And we often work with those tenants on a case-by-case basis and help them understand what their rights are. There are a lot of rights out there. We're working on a lot of educational materials, but the reality is that it can be very complex and everyone's housing story and challenges are very different. So our team is here to help address those concerns. We have a hotline. It's our Fair Housing Hotline. It's 210-207-5309 that anyone can call and ask questions and report issues or just have questions that you have. In situations like, I think her name was Liza, where she says that, you know, she does have documentation of past bills that she's paid and she does need an advocate, we can help with that as well. And we have an agreement with Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid, and that's something that they do along with the Fair Housing Council. They can help be that advocate for tenants. And we can help connect the parties so that they can talk to the landlord, help provide that information so that it can be reviewed.
All right, we're taking another break. It's 1 minute. When we come back, we've got other callers to get on the air. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 833-877-8255. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. A new report released by a government watchdog, Accountable U.S., finds that the six largest companies representing multifamily and single-family rental industry reaped a $4.3 billion net income in the last fiscal year, which is over $1.3 billion more than they did in the last year. So if you're looking at double-digit rent increases, excessive charges, these fees for late payment or other abusive tactics to evict patients, evict tenants, this is why. Because it is because of greed, corporate greed, and you're feeling it. You're part of it. And what can be done about that? The number is 833-877-8255. Let's go to caller Carolyn. Carolyn, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thank you for your program. And if at the end I could get that 210-702-07 number again, that would be great. So speaking of shakedowns and renter's insurance, I'm in a situation where I had to give 60-day notice to the old apartment, moved into a new apartment, went to pick up my keys. And at that time, even though I had a verbal understanding that I was already covered with an acceptable renter's insurance, I went to go sign the lease, which was over 50 pages long, on my small screen telephone. I asked questions and the leasing manager was not able to answer them, not knowing what was in the contract. Nowhere in the contract did it cover who the renter insurance third-party service would be. But right there on the spot, for me to get the keys, I was asked for $700 plus upfront for 12 months renter's insurance coverage. Now, I've since had conversations because initially they wanted to make it a non-refundable cost, and I said, absolutely not. So they have it refundable, but it's on a line item in the renter's, in the lease saying that this tenant will be living in the apartment and where my name should go. They put in refundable and then the amount that they wanted upfront. I'm just wondering, how is this legal when I didn't think as a resident I was supposed to be paying the leasing office or the apartment, my renter's insurance, if a third party supposedly is covering it.
All right. Thank you, Carolyn, for that. Let's go to Sandra Tamez really quickly. Is this something that you've heard of before? Is this illegal?
Yeah. It isn't something that I've heard of before, the upfront payments. I haven't heard of that before. Not to say that it hasn't happened. I don't know the legal ins and outs of what can be required regarding renter's insurance. I would just stress for every consumer that, unfortunately, they really need to, before signing and before committing, getting questions answered beforehand, seeing a copy of the lease beforehand. You can always ask for a copy of the lease before you sign, just to know what's included before you make a decision to even live there. And so you can already go in informed about what will be your responsibilities in terms of whether it's rent or renter's insurance, repairs, et cetera. I think it's always a good idea. And I know this is not, this is after the fact for her, unfortunately, but that lease is a contract that you're bound to. And so I can't speak to the legality of requiring this upfront. It doesn't seem, but I don't know. It doesn't seem that it doesn't seem fair, but I don't know whether or not it's illegal in any way.
Veronica Garcia, Director of Neighborhood and Housing Services for the City of San Antonio. People, you would think if you have a lot of choices, if you have, you're in a good job situation, you have good income, and you're going to rent, you could check these companies out and see if beforehand if they are shady, I guess, check them out online. People like to put reviews and stuff. But a lot of people don't have those options. They're on fixed income budgets. They don't have an abundance of money flowing into their lives. And so you're saying that there are rights, there are ways to deal with this. So what's the first thing that a person should do if they find themselves in a situation like we just heard, like you feel like I'm getting, this is a shakedown from this landlord, I'm being taken advantage of, or I'm being evicted unfairly because they want to, raise the rent and I can't pay it. What can people do?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So our recommendation always is to reach out to our team. I'll give that number again. It's 210-207-5309. That's our fair housing hotline. If it's a fair housing issue, like Sandra was describing, they have a disability, they have a discrimination complaint, we connect them with the appropriate entity and help them file that. If it is a legal question, I paid rent and they are not recognizing past due rent, or they're charging me unfair fees, then that's where we can bring in our partners that do provide free legal aid, and that's Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid. And it's free of charge to the tenant, where city is covering all of that, so that they can look at these situations on a case-by-case basis and help be that mediator between the tenant and the property manager to look at the issues. If it is a repair that's needed, we would encourage them to, again, as Sandra mentioned, as you mentioned, Dave, take a look at the lease. How does it outline how to report those repair issues? And if needed, we can help walk them through ways to report that through our code compliance team as well. So there are so many rights out there, whether they are federal protections or local protections. We have local rights that help tenants advise them of their rights, ensure that projects are accepting various forms of income. So there's just a multitude of rights out there, and it can be difficult for tenants to know what they all are and which rights come into play. So that's why our team is here. We do have, and we are staffing up more and more, housing navigators, people with experience in this area that they can help guide, provide that preliminary information, and if needed, connect them with our partners, whether that's the Fair Housing Council or a free legal aid to help take that next step in the advocacy process.
Let's go to another caller. We have Claire Bourne, and Claire Bourne, you're on the air.
Hi, I was calling about renter's insurance, homeowner's insurance. When we were in a rental, the landlord would not fix a GFCI outlet that our freezer was plugged into in the garage. And so we had to file four separate claims to replace all that food. When we bought our house, that insurance company wouldn't offer us homeowners insurance because of too many renters claims. Just an FYI.
So something to look out for. Appreciate that, Claire Bourne. So in the Texas legislature, so we have cities, San Antonio, San Marcos, Austin, Houston, Dallas, that are trying to pass these ordinances to protect renters because we're hearing about so many of these cases, these stories like you've heard today on the air. But there is a bill before the Texas legislature right now, HB 2035, that would end all of these active rent programs in Texas that would make it easier to evict people in Texas. And in Texas, you only need 3 days advance notice for eviction. 3 days. They could put that on your door and you have to be out in 3 days. Other states, Oklahoma, it's 10 days. Alabama, 14 days. Mississippi, 30 days. Texas has one of the shortest, most harshest eviction processes in the country. Is there anything that can be done about that? What if you get an eviction notice, Senator Tamez? How do you, you know, is there a way to fight back in those 3 days?
So this is really important. So there are many steps to the eviction process. There's, you know, multiple steps. The first is that written notice to vacate. And in that, because someone gets the notice to vacate does not mean that they have to immediately move out of the rental unit. A landlord, an apartment owner, has to actually take you, file an eviction suit with the Justice of the Peace, and obtain a judgment and a writ of possession before they can actually physically remove your personal property from the rental unit. There's several steps in this process. The first is that written notice to vacate. It normally is, like you said, 3 days, but also the lease agreement can provide otherwise. There are situations where it could be up to 30 days. It depends on the violation, really, of the lease and whether or not that property is covered by has any under the Federal CARES Act protections. But if that person does not vacate in those 3 days, at that point, the landlord must file an eviction suit with the Justice of the Peace. Then a constable will serve the tenant with a copy of the eviction suit, and it'll notify them about the hearing date, the time, the location, the reasons for eviction, et cetera. Then a hearing will happen at the Justice of the Peace, and the Justice of the Peace will hear and gather evidence and testimony from both sides. And we encourage renters to always go to the hearing, to be on time, be early, never be late. If you fail to attend the hearing or are late, they could end up entering a default judgment against you, which basically is ruling against you. And so, but at that point, the Justice of the Peace is supposed to give both parties an opportunity to present witness testimony and evidence. And this is when you fight back, right? This is where you provide your records and your receipts. If they enter a judgment against you, you have 5 days to appeal, 5 calendar days. From there, if you don't appeal, then the housing provider can get a JP to issue what's called a writ of possession. That's if you don't file within the 5-day deadline. At that point, if the JP issues the writ of possession, this is basically an order that directs the constable or sheriff to seize and take control of the rental unit and turn possession over to the landlord. They can then enter your rental unit and remove all your personal property.
See, I'm lost. Is all this stuff written down somewhere, Sandra, that people can follow this?
So it's information that we're providing as part of, it's a lot of information. What's great about the internet now, a lot of it's available online. There's information on the city's website. We're presenting it at the Renter Rights Power Hour this evening.
So where is the event tonight, really quickly?
So tonight the event is at the Walker Ranch Senior Center. I think that is 837 North Rhapsody, 78216. That's the event that we're hosting tonight.
All right. Thank you both, Senator Tamez, Executive Director of Fair Housing Council of Greater San Antonio, and Veronica Garcia, Director of Neighborhoods and Housing Services of City of San Antonio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies, with production support from Kayla Padilla and Mark Hutchison. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. Support for The Source comes from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.